We're going to be in the book of Daniel. So if you want to grab your Bible and open up to the book of Daniel in chapter 9. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be here upon the words of the scripture to open our hearts to see your Son in a way that will melt us and bring us to him, that he might find entrance into us and be formed in us and reign in us and fill us with what you call true glory, a slain lamb. Lord, we're here for life. We're here to conceive of the things we hear, not just learn about detail and information. We want to bring forth Christ. And so, Lord, it's with that heart we come to your Spirit. Overshadow us. Breathe Spirit and life into us. Bring forth Jesus. We appeal to your heart for him and come to you in his name. Amen. So, beginning in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, we are going to read the scriptures very closely. Therefore, it would be very helpful if you had your Bible right in front of you and maybe even a pen, because we are digging into the scriptures, which is what I love so deeply. Starting in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years concerning the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay, we actually see the words, the desolations of Jerusalem, in the scriptures right here in this verse. How powerful, how powerful. There's so many elements just within this one scripture that open doors and gates into the Lord's heart. Let's just look at a few of them. We see Daniel transitioning from chapter 8, which was the third year of King Belshazzar, to the chapter 9, the first year of Darius. And of course, Darius's reign is getting closer to the end of the 70 years. And so Daniel is beginning to possibly contemplate how long are they going to be captive in Babylon? When will they return to the desolations of Jerusalem? And, you know, his heart is captured enough with this issue, with this thought, that he's beginning to search the prophecies of Jeremiah and his writings, because he knows. And some of you who have been really digging into the scriptures, and I know who you are, in Jeremiah, you can realize Jeremiah's prophecies were incredibly centered on the Lord's heart always, and his image, his being, but in historical context, upon this situation of the desolations of Jerusalem, the captivity of God's people by the Babylon, by the Chaldeans, and their captivity into Babylon, that this was the current event upon which the Spirit was moving to deal with the hearts of his people and to bring forth a death on the behalf of the Lord for them. Well, Jeremiah's prophecies, who was a peer of Daniel, and we spent so much precious time at the feet of Jesus and in the scriptures of Daniel last year, that this is an area that we have been recently really digging into. So some of that seed and scripture will start rising in your hearts even as we contemplate these things in this study of Daniel. But so we know that Daniel, was a peer of Jeremiah, that before he was taken captive to Babylon, Daniel being in the first group of captives, in the first set of people that were exiled, he was just a young teenager. But when he was growing up as a child, Jeremiah was prophesying. He was in Judah. Daniel was in Judah, and Jeremiah was a prophet. And so, I mean, you know, he was familiar with this man and his ministry, which was not thought well of. Particularly because Jeremiah is speaking about this soon coming situation where the people of God are going to be sent away and taken captive. And the Lord is saying, this is me doing it. And Jerusalem is going to be plowed under and made desolate. And the Lord is saying, I am allowing this. And of course, this situation, this current event, this overriding cloud on the horizon, if you will, and situation in the earth during Daniel's time in Babylon, in Persia, under all these different governments and kings and rulers, this was the thing going on with his people. But, you know, this was the thing going on in God's heart. And one of the things that I felt my heart focusing in on as I pondered and poured and continue to do so over these verses in chapter 9 is that, you know, Daniel is a man who is not just going, well, this is what's going on in current events with my people. They're in Babylon. Jerusalem is destroyed. The Persians are now in control instead of the Chaldeans. And, you know, who knows what's happening here and there. And, you know, his heart isn't just taking things for granted and riding the wave of whatever's happening. He's looking into the heart of the Lord, and he's wanting to understand, not prophetically. I mean, in my opinion, which means nothing, and you shouldn't regard it. If it's in the scriptures and it's the Lord, that's the only thing you would receive. But I'm just giving you as a sister right now my opinion. I don't believe personally that Daniel was caught up in the prophetic times and seasons on a timeline chart. Maybe the Lord shared things with him along those lines. Maybe it, in a certain sense, it mapped out that way at some point on some level, some lower level, in my opinion. But I believe the pursuit of Daniel's heart was to understand what's going on in the desolations of Jerusalem. What's going on in Jeremiah's prophecy? What's going on? God doing this? What's in God's heart? What is he trying to accomplish in this? What was the purpose behind this? What is God feeling? What is God doing? What is God's heart desire? What is he doing in these 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem? Because chapter 9, verse 2 said that Daniel wanted understood by books what God would accomplish in 70 years in the desolation, that God would accomplish something in 70 years of desolation in Jerusalem, that Daniel understood it by books. He understood it by books, by reading the prophet's Jeremiah's scroll. So he searched it out. He saw it in the word, in the scroll of Jeremiah. He saw it in books, and he saw that there was going to be 70 years, that God was going to accomplish something in 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem that was plowed under by the Chaldeans when his people were taken captive. But that was not enough for Daniel. That knowing and seeing that in the Word, and understanding that basic God was going to accomplish something in these desolations in Jerusalem, and it was going to take 70 years to do it, and Jeremiah the prophet wrote it, and God gave it to Jeremiah, and I believe it, and it's true, and amen. That was not enough just to see it in the books and understand it in information. Not enough for Daniel. He couldn't be satisfied just to hear the information and see it in the scriptures. Verse 3. And I, Daniel, set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What is he setting his face to seek? I believe, and the scriptures I believe in this chapter show this, in my opinion, I believe he's seeking to understand what was meant to be accomplished in these 70 years and in this deep death and desolation of Jerusalem. What was God trying to bring forth? And he set his heart, and he made himself in a form of what? Ashes, fasting, setting his face in that way, being in sack. You know, he's carrying himself and clothing himself and ordering himself in the same spirit and way that Jerusalem was at that very time. Lord, I'm seeking you as one with you where you're at. You're in ashes and I'm in ashes. You're in ruins and I'm in sackcloth. You're not being fed with feasts and fellowship and offerings, and I'm fasting. I want to know what you feel. I want to be there in those desolations. I want to be there in that crucified Christ, and I want to feel his heart, and I want to know his mind, and I want to understand what was this death for? What was this death meant to bring forth in us, Lord? I set my heart to understand, not just by crying out a prayer request, but by drawing so close to where you're at. In my being, I draw close to where you're at. I think that's what Daniel's doing here in verse 3. He's seeking with that kind of a heart. With that kind of a heart in verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made my confession. And there, here he begins to confess as one with the people of Judah, that they have departed from him, and that they have rebelled against him, that they have done wickedly, that they have not hearkened unto the servants, the prophets. You know, verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusion of face, as is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel that are near and that are far, through all the countries to which thou hast driven them, because their trespass that, and here's the words, they have trespassed against thee. These are the trespasses that they have trespassed against God himself. And notice the theme as it continues in these next four verses. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned, here it is, against thee. In verse 9, to the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 11, yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Listen, this transgression of the law that Daniel's pouring out before the Lord, it isn't just I failed to keep the rules, slip-ums, I just don't like to be under the law, I'm not a legalistic type person. No, these laws were broken by leaving the Lord. They departed from him, their first love, him, their true God, him who dwelt in their midst. And then verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words which he has spoken against us, against our judges that judgest, by bringing us to a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. You know, wow, think of that sentence in light of the burnt Jerusalem, the desolate Jerusalem being a type and shadow of Christ crucified and what he went through in his death for us. Nothing under the whole heaven has been done as what has been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written, this is verse 13 in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. And we made not our prayer that we might understand, that we might understand. Isn't it funny that he pours this out as part of his confession, as part of his repentance before the heart of God on the behalf of the people? That they never sought the Lord to understand thy truth, to understand what was in his heart. Why death? Why a lamb? Why this? Why the desolate? Why? They never sought his heart. I'm going to skip down to verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold, our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. In verse 17 and 18, I saw a difference between these two points, one being, cause thy face to shine, this is verse 17, upon thy sanctuary, which is desolate for the Lord's sake. And if that's a picture of Christ crucified, then, you know, Daniel's saying, consider your slaughtered son, consider this desolate Jerusalem, consider this ash heap that went into death for our transgressions and trespasses against you. Shine your face there for his sake. And in verse 18, behold our desolations. Behold our broken down walls and burnt walls, and behold how we've allowed what should have been your habitation to become a place of jackals and wild beasts and foreigners and other gods and other lovers and idols. Look at our desolations. We've allowed the city which is called by thy name to become such. And all that happened before Jerusalem was destroyed. Read Ezekiel chapter 8, chapter 9. Look at what the temple looked like to God before the presence of the Lord departed. And the temple was destroyed. It was full of abominations. Full of abominations because the people's hearts left God days without number. Behold our desolations. We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for those great mercies that were poured out of the death of your Son. Hallelujah. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. Defer not for your own sake. O my God, for your city and the people who are called by your name. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. Listen to these words. Being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation of the evening sacrifice. I noted these words, being caused to fly swiftly. Notice that upon these prayers, upon this turning to the Lord's needs and trying to press in and seek his heart and understand his heart in these things and pouring over him in these things, that this angel, this messenger of God was just sent, go quickly, go to that one, begin to show him that he might understand and consider what these 70 weeks of desolation were to accomplish. And yes, we're going to qualify that statement in the next two or three verses, but look at, he's wanting to know my heart. He's wanting to comprehend my death. He's wanting to know my crucified son. Go quickly to him and show him. You know, what a picture of how God sends his spirit to the heart that's turned towards the Lord. When the heart turns towards the Lord, the veil is rent. We see, we know, we become one with, we're filled with. You know, God does not delay. He does not remove himself from the heart that begins to seek him like this. My Lord, this is just an Old Testament picture. But even here, how glorious is the heart of the Lord to respond to someone who seeks him in this way. And what basis is Daniel seeking him on? He's on the basis of understanding the desolations of Jerusalem, of understanding Christ and him crucified. Could we strike a deeper chord in the heart of the Father? Could we hasten the ministry of the Holy Spirit any deeper than to cry out for this understanding of the Lord? Amen. How powerful. And verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding, to give thee understanding. Verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter. Consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon the people. See, right there, he goes, right when he says, understand the matter, he starts talking about the 70 weeks of desolation and what it is to accomplish. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city, upon the people and upon the holy city, upon the people that are in captivity and God is dealing with their hearts there because they left their first love and forgot God, trying to bring them back into living union with the living God in this foreign land. And he's also accomplishing something upon the holy city where the Lamb is dying in type and shadow as the burnt and crucified Jerusalem. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Good Lord, we just need to get on our faces and seek his heart and all that. Praise God. But oh, what the death of Christ accomplishes. Oh, what the dying of the Lord Jesus bringeth forth. No ministry outside of death could ever seal up and anoint and finish and make an end. And only the death of the Lamb does these things. Only the death of the Lamb. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Even in troublous times. Praise God. Is there ever a time that's a good time to let the death of Christ work in us? Is there ever a good time, a comfortable moment, that we begin to embrace union with the slain Lamb? Is there ever a good time that has no trouble in it when we begin to embrace those burnt stones and be built into that Jerusalem, that crucified Christ? It's never in that easy moment. It's always in troublous times. It always has cost. There's always that altar, always that loss, that those walls will be built again in troublous times. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations. There's that word again, are determined. Death must come. It is determined in the council, predetermined in the counsels of God, that this Christ must be crucified. Yes, he was crucified by the hands of wicked men, as is spoken of in the beginning of Acts, but it was by the predetermined counsel of God that he was given. Desolations are determined, but not by the enemies, not by the Chaldeans, not by the wicked hands of men. The determination has come from God that death is the way, and it will accomplish what nothing else can. The death of the Son, whether it be in us or on Calvary's tree, his death at work is the only thing that brings forth these things and accomplishes these ends. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You know, so many people can approach a verse like that and give their life, if not years of their lives, to digging out historical events and things and such and this. But my challenge is, how many dare to dig into the heart of Jesus and understand what he means when he talks about confirming a covenant and causing sacrifice to end so that deeper death can come until everything's desolate, until everything's consumed and that which he determined in his heart is poured out. It pleased God to bruise him. I don't think the heart of God is swallowed up of days and weeks down here on earth and times and events of men in historical manifestation. I'm sure he cares about us and he sees it manifest all the way down to an earth event and a date on the calendar. I personally do not believe the heart of the Father swallowed up in linear events. I believe it's swallowed up in his crucified, given Son. And he has determined for him to be the only thing that makes a change in this world. To be the only thing that works in our lives to turn us from self unto God. To be the only answer to even his own people that have forgotten him and left him days without number. And yet there is a free will offering. There is a choice for those who are in Babylon for 70 years when it is over. Will you return? Will you come back to him for who he is now? See him as he is laid bare there in those burnt stones. See him for the slain and poured out being that he ever was, even masked as such in Solomon's glory, but now seen so very clearly for his true glory. That's the choice of each man and woman's heart. But God has died deeply and made himself desolate so that whomsoever would could come and become the flesh and bones on that city, that slain one, be built into him as a body and a temple and a bride to choose. But it began with a heart like Daniel's in the beginning of chapter 9 that just said, I set my face to seek. I set my face to seek what is in his heart in these things. You know, so many times, and we're getting close to the end now, when God deals with us severely, like he was dealing so very severely with his people of Judah, it was an incredibly severe dealing, but it was not a punishment, because the punishment came on Jerusalem, not the people. He was chastising them as sons. He was not punishing them. Because if they were punished, they would be dead and totally separated from God. That came on Jerusalem as a picture of Christ crucified. But so many of us, during a time of deep dealing and discipline and chastisement from God, will set our face to seek by prayer and supplication what we did wrong and how we can get better. And how we can amend our attitudes and improve our responses and do things differently and look better and have favor again. We separate our entire being unto what did I do wrong and how can I make it better, Lord, for you. You know, that's very self-absorbed still. Though it may look noble and be more noble than just leaving God, it's still focused on self. But Daniel's not focusing on himself or even his people's sins. He's not setting his face to be critical and understand what did they do wrong. What did they do wrong? And, you know, can I just get upset with them and be all caught up in everyone's transgressions and lack? He set his heart to understand, not just by books, but by God's own spirit. What's in your heart? What do you need here? What are you trying to accomplish? How can I be with you? How can I be with you? How can I bring forth what your need is? Not just that I want to get better. Just, you know, and the people who came back to rebuild, they came back to him. You know, not just to say, if I come back, will you stop being mad at me? Well, can we be okay again? Can we go back to the way it used to be? You know, when you weren't mad at me, or I didn't know you were mad at me, or, you know, that's not the same heart. That's not the same heart. And you know, truly we are right now just beginning on this journey of what Daniel began in this chapter 9, seeking God's heart. And these things, we're going to be focusing on it for a good while, just as we started to begin opening ourselves to the Lord in this way in Ireland during this past conference. I believe we're going to continue along this line. And so there's time to soak. There's time to set our hearts. There's time to open before the Lord, just like Daniel did. And see his heart and know him here. And so that's what I felt to share today. And I don't feel like I'm supposed to go long. We're at 30 minutes now. And I think we should probably end it there. And just let it be a seed of the beginnings of a contemplation and of a seeking. And setting of our hearts before the Lord in this way. So let's just pray. And we just thank you for your word. We We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his death, for his heart, for his being, for your heart, for the things that were in and are in your heart, and all that you have desired to accomplish when you predetermined that he would be crucified. Lord, we know our sins put him there, but we know you put him there for a greater end than just forgiveness, but for a body and a bride and something glorious that's in your heart even before sin. We want to open to you in new ways. We want to be soft and tender and towards you, that you might send your messenger, the Holy Spirit, and help us understand, even as you did with Daniel. So we just say, yes, Lord, we're coming, we're opening, we're seeking. We love you. We love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.